Sunny 16 presents.
Hello, listeners. Today on the feed, we have a conversation between Peter Langman and Sammy about their recent collaboration for Peter's Frames of Mind exhibition for mental health awareness. They talk about how the project came together, and Sammy shares her perspectives on being the subject of public images around a thing she kept hidden in her youth.
So I'm here with Sammy. We done an exhibition a little while ago on mental health.
It was all about me.
It was all about Sammy.
Gross. Who wants to know about that?
Well, funnily enough, quite a few people did. Because quite a few people turned up. So yeah, how was that for you when we first started thinking about it and talking about it? How was it? What was your thought process? Because you didn't really, you was a bit dubious at first.
I think because I didn't really know you at the start either, and then you just came like with the idea. So I wasn't really sure what to expect from it, and then I didn't think it was obviously going to get as far as what it did. Like at the beginning, it just started as a conversation, and then it kind of gradually progressed from there.
To be fair, I didn't think it was going to go anywhere. I didn't think I'd finish it, because I never finish. I start things and never finish them. But, yeah, I think when we had the initial interview and chat, I think that's when I realised I have to do this now, after you had kind of...
I told you my whole life
story. Your whole life story. I owed it to you to get
whole
it finished.
Autobiography.
That's it. To get it finished and do it right. So the process of, you know, we've done the interview, and from the interview I've pulled things out from the interview to put into photographs and the imagery. How did you feel about having the photos taken? And well, because you hate photos.
I hate having my picture taken. I don't like being the only person in a picture. So all my pictures on social media, there's never maybe one of me on my own. I'm always with somebody else. So it was really... And then obviously the taking of, like, not like modelling, but to be like the centre of attention and just have your photo taken and pose in certain ways, I found that really uncomfortable.
For the first two photos?
Yeah, and then I was buzzing. I'm like, yes, take my picture. Shoot me from this angle.
It was amazing how quickly it changed. Once you realised it wasn't scary and you could have a laugh doing it and just carry on chatting in between, and that, it was just like, hold that, we'll sort this out and then we'll go.
That's why I think it's good, because obviously we get on, like we have a laugh and stuff. I think had it been with someone else, I think it would have been uncomfortable, but because you didn't make me feel... like judged or uncomfortable or that, so I think it was easier to...
I couldn't make you feel judged anyway, because the subjects we were approaching, you can't... Well, I wasn't judgmental from the start anyway. I think that's why you let me do it.
Yeah, for sure.
And you came on board with it and actually threw yourself right into it, to the point that when we'd done the first shoot, then you was asking, when are we doing the next one?
That makes me sound really like, ooh.
But it was good though, because that was a process where you actually really started coming out of yourself in it.
I did enjoy it, to be fair.
Yeah, so you kind of flipped completely from, yeah, to, yeah.
This could work.
Yeah, let's play. For technical stuff, I was using a Mamiya C330. We had a one light set up and I was shooting Ilford Delta 100. And sort of developed it all on Pyro 510. And I printed it all in 12 by 12 inch on Ilford Pearl. I said, that's the boring stuff out
that's
of the way.
That's like a different language.
what
was that code?
So then we, you know, I had to do all the printing, which you did come see us.
I watched you print two of them, I think.
Two of them, that was, yeah, it was, you kind of like that.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have the patience for it.
Yeah, luckily, because I think the price of paper's gone up again since
we've
done
it. It was expensive enough, wouldn't it?
Oh, I think I used, I didn't use all of it, but I had two packs of 12 by 16, and I think it was £80 a pack at the time. I think it's 95 now.
Cool. So,
yeah, it's gone up again. Thanks, Ilford!
Cost of living, isn't it?
Well, apparently. But that's another story. And a whole other podcast, which I don't want to get into. So then we come to the actual setting up of the exhibition. And
oh, wasn't it hot?
Oh,
wasn't it the hottest room ever?
It was hideous. And trying to get all the easels because I had to buy 17 frames. Cause there were 17 pictures and all there, 17 frames, 17 prints, 17 easels, 17 lights. Little lights that went on top of them. And so we was unpacking the car and trying to get all that in the hall because it was a one-off exhibition. I just wanted complete control over it because it had an interview plan whilst people looking at the photos. You couldn't just sort of leave it and set it up somewhere. What did you make of the setting up apart from shit, I want to go home, I want to run away now?
I was so scared. As soon as I saw it, because obviously I'd seen the pictures individually, but I hadn't seen them all together, like set up properly. So once it was all like in the room, I was like, shit, this really is all about me. Like this whole thing, everyone's going to be looking at me, everyone's going to be hearing my voice. I was like, nah, I was ready to go home. I was about to dart out the door, but then my best friend turned up, so I was like, nah, I've got to stay now.
And I'm so glad you did. And you couldn't have got away anyway, because I actually had your car keys. So...
Which you didn't tell me until the end.
Well, you gave them to me, you should have known that.
I just wanted you to look after them.
So you were trying to bolt, but you couldn't have got anywhere, because I had your keys the whole time, and I was busy. I
just ran home.
Which you're quite capable of. Yeah, Sam's our personal trainer. She's passed all her qualifications again, which she was kind of umming and ahhing about doing before the exhibition. So the exhibition happened, people were turning up and it was so quiet. When the interview started, it just went so quiet. And
that's when I wanted to go home. Like, all jokes aside, as soon as I heard my voice start, that's when I really, I was hiding at the back. I was so scared and I was like, oh, this is a terrible idea. Because I didn't think people would actually listen to it. I don't know, I just thought, oh.
You could have literally heard a pin drop.
But I thought, oh, people would talk over it, like, it's boring. Like, no one's going to be interested in what I've got to say. So I didn't expect people to literally just stand there and listen. Because it was like a 20-minute...
It was about 25 minutes, I think.
It was long.
Yeah.
Just me talking shit.
And it was so silent. And people were sort of slowly walking around looking at the pictures. And then as the interview progressed, people were going back because they were thinking, hang on a minute, I can see what's... I can see the...
Like the links.
Yeah, the correlation between there. So that was really interesting to see as well. I don't know if you saw, I was just wandering around at the back sort of...
I was too busy hiding.
And I, like you, I was thinking, God, this is going on.
Because you'd already listened to it about 800 times.
Because obviously I had to edit it and I was like, oh my God.
Not again.
But it was such a powerful piece of... the story was so powerful on its own. It would have stood on its own. But with the pictures as well, I think it really enhanced the story. So I think, although it turned out as a... I wanted it to be a photo project, which is what it was initially, wasn't it? A photo project. Yeah. The interview was never meant to be...
It wasn't meant to be part of it.
No,
it was
no.
Just to give you, like, background.
Yeah, to give me... So I recorded it so I could, you know, use it as reference, but it was just so powerful. It had to be part of it. Yeah, so it was so quiet. And, like, you were sitting at the back with your friends and I was wandering around and then grown men started crying. And it was like, my God, this is really touching... a nerve and people and I kind of knew then that, you know, we've got something good here, which and what was you thinking when you saw?
I sort of like, I think because I was scared, so I was at the back, and even after it finished and everyone was kind of walking around chatting, I was still hiding a little bit. And then one of the first people that came to speak to me was one of my old she used to work in my primary school, and she apologized to me and said how like they should have done more to help me, and they didn't know, which obviously they wouldn't have known because I didn't tell anyone, so I can't expect that.
And yeah, you hid it, didn't you?
And yeah, I went out of my way to hide it, so of course no one was going to know. But she apologised and said that, yeah, they should have done more for me, which I think was nice of her to do. But I don't know, then that once I'd spoke to one person, then another person would come over, and then all of a sudden I was like surrounded by people, and then I don't know, like all my friends left me to it, so I was like looking over at them like trying to get them to come and help me, but everyone was like so nice to me.
And it changed your perspective on your scars,
yeah,
and how you're viewed.
Yeah, because every like, so I always wore long sleeves, like, for ages. It wasn't until probably, like, recent years that I even started wearing short sleeves, like, even in the summer. And then when I got my job at the gym, that's when I first thought, oh, because that's the first time I actually, like, wear a uniform as such at work, and it was obviously short sleeves, so I was really panicking before I started there, thinking, oh, I'm not going to be able to hide it anymore. And then, like, just slowly, I just started wearing short sleeves again. But I can always see, like, people looking. And, like, maybe they're not judging, but, like, people just inquisitive. Like, they just, like, you just look, don't you? Mm. But, like, I'd rather people just come out and ask me about it rather than just stare. I think that makes, then that makes you feel like you're being judged.
Is that now or was that then?
That was then. Whereas now, I don't really care. Like, I wear short sleeves. I don't care what people think because I know, like, people probably aren't judging. Like, especially on that evening, I didn't feel like... I spoke to a lot of people and I didn't feel like a single one of them was judging me.
I mean, I know it sounds corny on that, but there was quite a lot of love in that room, actually. I think there was a lot of support.
Yeah.
And a lot of... a lot of people just so, so emotional. I mean, there was one chap I spoke to and his family... He'd come from a family of alcoholics and he could be treading the same path, and I think it made him realise. So I had a chat with him and I said, look, just talk.
Yeah.
Talk to someone. I think that's what you found as well from doing this, is actually talking to people.
It's the most important thing, because I literally went my whole, like, childhood without, like, telling anyone anything. Like, I kept everything to myself. I thought, I think when you're a kid as well, you just think no one understands, no one can possibly get what you're going through, blah, blah, blah. So I think that was part of it, but also I was so scared of what other people would think. It wasn't until really recent years when I started going to counselling and stuff where I realised how important it is to just talk to somebody.
I think, because I approach the subject with you, I think we have different memories of how this happened. Completely different, which I find quite amusing. Because I think we was having a conversation about drinking. And then I think the way I see it, we had the conversation about drinking, your mum. And then I just said, so your scars.
Yeah.
I think is what I said. And from what I remember, your response was, they are what you think they are.
Yeah.
And that spurned a whole conversation. It may not have been on the same day.
It's all blurs into one.
Yeah, it has blurred into one. But yeah, and then, yeah, just through different times coming to the gym, I think I just said, can I photograph them? And it kind of went from there, really, into this, what was a whole exhibition, which was fantastic. I really enjoyed it. Although I was petrified as well, because obviously... Yeah, because you get the whole imposter syndrome. Is it good enough? Am I good enough? Have I thought this out? Does it make sense?
Yeah.
But I think the layout of it as well really worked in the end, as it kind of come in from both sides. You could start at either end of it, and it would give you the same perspective. And I enjoyed that part of it.
I was just trying to open the doors, weren't it?
Oh.
You want a grand reveal, no chance.
Yeah. Yeah, it had these, it had like, when people walked in, you couldn't see pictures at all. There was a bar, and the actual exhibition, all the photos were in like almost a semicircle, and they were behind these folding doors. So my partner Kelly stood up and introduced it, and then I had to say a few bits as well, which I was really worried about. And then we had to... In my head, when I chose this place, the doors would just slide back. but as it turned out, you had to do them individually, and they were really fiddly. So it kind of lost a bit of, quite a lot, actually, didn't it? It was like, oh, God, just go in and have a look, will you? but, yeah, so it kind of lost a bit there. But when it finished and you spoke to everyone and... Looking back on it now, what has it done for you, do you think, in the time? I mean, when was it? It was in...
March?
I don't know.
March, made that up.
Just a random guess.
Just pick a month.
It was a day. I can't remember.
Who won?
I should have researched this before.
It was in May, I think.
Was it?
It definitely starts with an M. May or March. March what? Seems a long time.
They're kind of the only 2 months of time.
Yeah, exactly. So it's one of them.
So what, since then, what do you think that that's...
I think it showed me that people can be nice. Even people that you think aren't nice. So one of my old PE teachers is there. And from my memory at school, she... Like, because I was very naughty at school, so I probably deserved it, but she was not my biggest fan, and so I was really actually a bit nervous about her being there. But she was so nice to me at the end, gave me a hug. Like, I think people that even that you think would be against you actually...
But that said again, like you said, you hid everything, so people
didn't know the true story.
Didn't know the true story, and it was a different time. Whereas I think we established in the last interview what we did for the exhibition is that talking is key. And I think you accepted that if you spoke to someone at school this could have all been very different.
I think it's because at school, so the odd person knew bits, like odd teachers, I'd tell a bit, but nobody knew the full story. Because I think if they had done, then it would have gone a lot differently.
I think even now, though, this story, our journey in this respect, I don't think it's finished. You might think it is, but I don't think it is. I think we've got a lot more to cover, and maybe
there's nothing else to it.
It may be in future a future exhibition. You know, not in like 5 years' time, because there's things that we haven't covered and we could cover.
Yeah.
When it's not so close.
Yeah.
You know, but I think you're opening up, and to be fair, you doing that exhibition was so brave.
Scary.
Which is why it was so brave.
Well, I don't think I realised until the night when everyone was there, and I was like, oh my God, it's actually a real... up until that point, it's just been me and you, like...
Yeah, look at the geeking picture. Off and messing about,
Like, look at the pictures in your kitchen, like, have a chat, like, it wasn't a setup. Like, this was a whole thing. Like, people went out of their way to come and see it and listen to it. And
a lot of people come a long way as well.
I think that's a really big deal.
Yeah, some people come quite a distance to see it.
But, see, that's another thing. Like, I think you push me out of my... that comfort zone. I think I need people to do that, because otherwise I just stay where I am.
I think there's a few people that are pushing you now, because you're getting support from your work, and you're getting support from the people at your work as well. You know, like some of the clients as well.
Yeah.
And I think you are being pushed, and I think you're responding to it really well.
Trying to. Some things are harder than others.
That's all you can do, though, isn't it? Is try. I mean, you're going to fall flat on your face at some things, and some things you're just going to fly. But that's the same for everyone. I mean, that exhibition for me could have fallen flat on its face. You'd have been quite happy with that. You'd be like, brilliant, no one's here.
Straight out of the
anything else come from it from you?
I don't know, really. I think it's just given me, especially when we went on the radio as well. I think that was quite a big thing.
Oh, that was really scary.
That was terrifying.
That was probably
scary. It was when we was waiting outside, and I was like, why have I agreed to this? Like, people are going to listen to me.
And I was like, why have I suggested we should do this?
But, like, stuff like that I would never have done a few years ago.
No.
Not a chance. I would never have agreed to anything like that.
And you were the one that held it together, apparently.
Oh, everyone said I did better than you.
Yeah. Which it doesn't surprise me, to be fair at all. From a photography point of view, it's... I'm struggling to do something. It's
because a project again.
Yeah, now that was so meaningful, and every picture had a meaning, and there was a lot of thought behind it. Now it's everyday photography taken every day. It's kind of a bit.
Doesn't have the same like effect.
No, I don't. I'm thinking pointless, but I don't want to say that because that's not right. That's just wrong.
Rude.
Well, it is, yeah, but that's kind of how it feels in a way. Yeah, I need projects now, and I need something that's really going to get my mind working, because I learned so much from doing that photography-wise. I mean, I'd never really done spotting before, and there I was sitting at the table with a tiny little brush, and I'm not known for patience.
Definitely not.
But there I was, and yeah, I really enjoyed it, and I found it quite therapeutic. So I learned loads, but yeah, I need to find meaning to do photography now, and you know, get in the dark room and really throw myself into something. I've got something brewing.
Edit that out.
Yeah. Open the door. No, I've got something brewing, and it's gathering momentum in my head, and hopefully it will get past being in my head and we can move forward from there.
Did you enjoy doing the exhibition?
Yeah.
Was you more nervous or was you more excited?
It got to the point where nerves had gone. As soon as I set it up and people started, you know, taking the tickets. I mean, it was free. It wasn't a paid event. It cost me a fortune, but no one else. But it was what it was at the end, because it's so subjective anyway, isn't it? Photography, art is.
Yeah.
You know, some people might like it, some people won't. So it was one of them. Someone was bound to like it, and someone may not have liked it. It wasn't a subject that was meant to be liked or pretty, or you know, it was quite a deep subject. And you know, there was no graphic pictures to what I could think, but you know, they weren't.
Well, they were a bit.
You think?
Yeah, it was like they weren't fresh cuts, but they were pretty, like close timing.
Yeah, but
which wasn't actually meant to be part of it.
No,
it was just
no,
the way it worked
yeah,
out.
Yeah, it's just the way it worked out, which photography speaking probably helped a little bit, but no, it wasn't meant to be like that. It's just the way it worked out, like you say. But yeah, once it was done, it was done. And like I say, it wasn't a pretty subject. It wasn't, no one's ever going to walk up to say, wow, I love the pictures. People enjoyed the pictures and they enjoyed viewing them with the, I think if it stood alone, I'm not sure it would have worked.
No.
Photography wise. I think it needed.
You need the story.
You need the story. Yeah. And photography is supposed to be about storytelling in certain genres. And I think we certainly told a story.
My favourite thing about the whole thing was you put a post about it on Facebook afterwards and someone commented saying how good it was to see me go from hiding at the beginning to then at the end, like, being out and about and talking to people. I just thought that, because I didn't, obviously I knew I was doing that, but I didn't register that. Mm. So the fact that other people noticed that, I think it's a really big deal.
I think everyone noticed and everyone realised how, or what they saw, how much it took for you to be there and, you know, how, as the course of the night, you just grew. You could see you grow because you were like a little girl at the back. And then, I know, it sounds corny, but when it had finished, you was like this upright woman chatting to people about it and, you know, really being quite open.
That's the thing, is like, I'm not a confident person, so to just talk to strangers scares me anyway. But I think because everyone was so nice, like, that made it a lot easier.
Mm.
I think because I expect people to judge, and I think when you talk about mental health and self-help, like, there's so much stigma around it anyway.
It's not as much as there used to be.
There is. You wouldn't know because you don't, that kind of stuff, you've not experienced. Like, around that stuff, there definitely still is.
Fair.
But, like, it's not as bad as it used to be, probably.
No, people didn't talk about it before. And if, you know, yeah, at school, it could have been quite brutal. Mm. Which is probably why you hid it for so long. Do you regret hiding it or not?
No.
No.
Not at school. There's no way I could. I think as well, because the more, not so much when I was at school, but because I used to work in a school, I saw it a lot more. But it did become like a thing that everyone was doing. And people would just walk around with cuts on their arms. And it wasn't, I don't know, it was like a fashion trend. Whereas when I did, it definitely wasn't that. And I didn't want people to know. I didn't want people, I'd go out of my way to make sure no one knew about it.
Mm.
So I think when it becomes a trend, it makes it harder for people that really are struggling with it to then talk about it. Because you don't want to be just seen as like another attention seeker or whatever. Which I do think, even if you're doing it anyway, even if it is for attention, there's obviously still a problem there. Like, you don't just do that for the sake of it.
Yeah, why would you? So, definitely.
But to kind of just walk around with it, I just think, where everyone can see it, that's not what I experienced as even a remote possibility.
So, if you were, not by me, obviously, but if you was asked to do something like this again...
No. If it was with you, yeah, it's someone else, no.
No. I find that a bit weird, because I think doing it again with someone else, it might bring out other sides that you haven't.
Yeah, but there's like the...
You've got...
The safety of it.
Yeah, you've got to go through the whole initial process again, haven't you, of the whole... Telling the whole story again, I suppose.
Well, I think it's all right for people to like come and watch, or for you to come and listen. But like, for me, this is like my life. This is actually, I think it's like, you know, when you watch TV shows like 24 hours in A&E, and you just watch it on the TV, and I think you forget, like, actually, this is someone's life. This is someone's family. Like,
yeah, exactly.
They're going through that.
Yeah.
It's like the exhibition. Like, this is my life on show for people that I don't know.
And again, that's why it was so brave. And I think from my point of view in the photos as well, I had to portray it in a sensitive way. And that's why I didn't want anything sort of gratuitous, or I wanted people to think about it. I didn't want it to be in your face. I wanted it to be quite subtle. And I think we got that blend. So I'd definitely.
Would you do something like that again?
Yeah, absolutely. But it has to be the right subject, because I thought about other subjects and there's some subject I can't think how I'd get it into an image. The next project I've got in my head, I've got so many images for it, and I just need to whittle them down and find people to be in the images. They don't need to be any type of person or have a story. I just need people.
Anyone.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You'll do.
Grab them off a shoot.
Yeah, that's it. That's what some people do, isn't it? All in all, at the end of the day...
So annoying.
I know. Well, so you're the biggest take of it from you is that the one take from doing that whole arduous, painful, stressful, scary exhibition was your main take from it? In one word. No, that's too much.
Fuck. I don't know. I think just talk. Just talk to people.
Just talk.
Such an important thing to do.
Yeah.
It's so easy to just feel like you're alone. But there's always someone that will listen to you. Mm. Even if they can't give you advice, even if they don't know what to do or they don't know what to say, just being heard is such a important thing that you can do for somebody else. Just be there.
Mm. There we go.
Done.
Done. Boom. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for listening to me chat shit. Once again, about my boring life.
Your life's not boring.
It's so boring.
Boys, it's actually not, is it? To be fair.
That's just the tip of the iceberg. You don't even know.
That's why there's going to be another one in 5 years, Sammy. Right, cheers for that. And I'll let you go home now.
Thanks. Let me out your room.
Yeah, let me out my little dark room. See you later. I don't want to talk.
Can I go home now?
Yeah, let's go. Let's not do this.
I'm scared.
Right, that's that bit out of the way.
Okay, go.
Go. What am I saying?
All
right. No, no, no. What's that noise?
Should we just go back to the gym? I know what I'm doing there.
Yeah, let's do that because that was strenuous. This is horrible.
I'm really nervous. I'm actually scared.
Why?
I don't know.
Don't be scared.
I feel scared.
Right, do you want to introduce yourself?
I thought you was going to introduce me.
No, I've changed my mind.
Hi, I'm Sammy. Adam. Live in Chelmsford.
This is going well.
You said I wouldn't have to say anything.
I'm actually sweating.
Oh. I want to go home. What time is it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's my bedtime.
You know, I'm not editing this out. I'm not. This is going to stay in so everyone knows exactly what a pair of twats we are.
Speak for yourself.
Thank you again to Peter and Sammy for sharing their story. You can find more info about the project on Peter's website, cameraandcoffeecabin.click. If you've got an idea for something you'd like to share on the feed, please get in touch at sunny16presents@gmail.com.